Fire safety can never be overemphasized. I've got Captain Robert Clary with me today, along with Chief Annette Brown. They're going to talk about keeping us alert. And I've got Dave Barfield. He's the creative director for Tallahassee Family Magazine, this nifty little publication that has come along. You stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done. Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widden Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widden Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widden's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widden is known for taking care of business. Widden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Don't forget, shiver. Yes, in fact, it is time again for this remarkable little radio show that we have affectionately dubbed Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. That was your first choice, Carl, out of a list of about 100 different titles for the show, if I recall correctly. It has now been 7.5 years, so if you don't recall as I do, that's okay. But nonetheless, I believe that's true. Then again, I've been known to fabricate such things, so we'll just leave it at that. I think we have, for you, in this 7.5 years, done our very best to bring what it is that Tallahassee brings to the world. In parts and in pieces, yes, but certainly in honest conversations. I would just feel like that's a lot more revealing and interesting and genuine. That's kind of how it is with Tallahassee Family Magazine. It's this unabashed, this unfiltered or less filtered view of what this town brings us in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different sectors and levels and lifestyles, interests, contributions, concerns. All of that comes inside of the pages of this magazine. TFM, you'll hear it referred to. And you say, well, Tallahassee Family Magazine, wow, you guys seem to have a lot of interest in a lot of things beyond, let's say, child-rearing issues. Oh, yeah. Child-rearing is certainly one part of, one aspect of family life, is it not? But then again, there are all kinds of families out there in which child-rearing just isn't part of the picture. And so then we begin to ask the question, what does it mean to be a family in Tallahassee, and what does Tallahassee have to offer families? So there's that sort of intersection of opportunity and concept and experience and identity issues. All of that goes into us helping to better say, this is what we know to be Tallahassee and Tallahassee's families. Some of them are quite industrious, crafty. So you'll see in the magazine a maker series, you know, leather craft and jet instruments. They, you know, Danny Goddard over there making guitars that'll just knock your socks off. Beautiful. So that was one of the stories in a recent edition of the magazine. And on this occasion, we're talking with Dave Barfield about the current edition, which features George Clinton on the cover. And what a remarkable occurrence this is, in that for many, many people, most people, they had no idea that George Clinton has lived in the Tallahassee area, specifically Monticello, for now decades, has a recording studio not far from our studios, actually, in Tallahassee, has been working diligently over the number of years that he's been at work on his business of musical performance under the title is Parliament Funkadelic, P-Funk. A remarkable stage show it is, and even more remarkable, since the current edition has come out, how many people have said, oh, I love George Clinton. So there's a lot of Clinton fans about town. If you haven't picked up your copy, you can do so at Whole Foods, Earth Fair, Urban Food Market. Those are great opportunities for you. You'll find it at other retail outlets, Midtown Reader. You can actually purchase it there if you care to. Well, some of these larger locations, we've provided it to you complimentary. You'll find it at the Tallahassee Museum. It's at Lemoyne downtown. And let's see, we've got, we got a map of all these locations. That'd make it easier. Go to the map. And it's at the website, tfmmagazine.com. Fully blown online edition for you of the magazine. So all of the articles that we have published thus far, they're there for you to review, enjoy, refer. You can link all of the ads that you see there. They're interactive. It'll take you to those advertisers, websites, and such. That's a cool thing. But look for this map. If you want to go and find out where it is at a location near you, you can do so. You can subscribe online. So that's cool. Fill out the little form. Submit that to us, and we will make sure that TFM is delivered directly to your doorstep. So it is. And on this occasion, when I have the likes of Dave Barfield, you're going to appreciate this. In the second hour, he'll talk at length about his vision of the magazine, or vision for the magazine, and his vision of Tallahassee, his view of what makes for good, not just good photography, which is his forte, of course, that is his focus, no pun intended. It is, in fact, his work to make sure the magazine, in all of its aspects, the way it's laid out, the way it looks, the way it reads, it's a collective. You know, we're grateful that our editorial staff, between Sarah and Carl, serving as executive and managing editors, respectively, do this amazing job of just bringing to us the stories that reveal more about who we are. And it's a topic that rings with me pretty strongly around here because, as you know, if you've listened to me yak at you for any length of time, and that's a big deal for me. It's discovering who we really are. It's digging a little deeper than perhaps what we have settled on. That we're more than a state capital or a football town. We are more than state workers running back and forth every day, just doing our jobs. There's something much more intriguing, contributive, diverse, and interesting, just flat out peculiarly interesting about Tallahassee, if you'll take the time. And that's one of the things that Dave and I'll talk about is just, when you look at a person and you spend enough time, you're going to find things that are interesting, in his words, things that are beautiful about any person, about any setting. You can find that if you'll take the time to do so. Well, that's kind of what we're about here. We're going to take the time to learn more about this town and what it brings us. In the first hour, we'll do so with Captain Robert Clary. He's the public educator for Tallahassee Fire Department, along with the very capable Annette Brown. Chief Brown is able to supervise all of these guys and gals that are responsible for public education. And that points us in the direction of our Tallahassee Prepared promotion. We've done this annually now for a couple of years, and the point of that, and the point that the Tallahassee Fire Department folks are making, is that we need to stay focused on being prepared at all times. And a lot of it is common sense, but a lot of it may escape you. So Captain Cleary will be with us to help out on that, along with Chief Brown. I think it's going to be a great show. You hang in there and see if you agree with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You'll find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com.
I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week. Because, though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So it happens, my friend, that our fair city is fortunate enough to have folks who are not only well-prepared, well-trained, dedicated to the task, they are proficient, particularly in regard to fire prevention. I've got Captain Robert Cleary, who is a public educator for Tallahassee Fire Department, has been doing this for good number of years. Good work there, Captain. Good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're looking good.
Thank you,
too.
Sir.
You wear that uniform well, sir. And then I have Chief Annette Brown. Now this woman has the delightful responsibility of overseeing what Captain Cleary is doing. Now, that's a full-time job, is it not?
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Need to keep you between the lines, pal. So let's welcome Chief Brown. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank
you. The job is really not a job, is it? It's a life's calling, it seems to me. There's something very, I don't know, pervasive about the choice you make. And you've been doing this 27 years.
That's correct.
Which, I mean, that's not just a job. That is a life commitment. Not just the training, not just the rigors, but also the kind of attitude that it demands of you. Correct. Talk about that. In your 27 years of experience, you must have some interesting recollections.
Well, I have, and the 27 years encapsulates being a firefighter. I came in as a firefighter, from firefighting to engineering, where I drove the trucks, and then I became an EVOC instructor to assist others on how to maneuver and drive the trucks. So moving from that up through the ranks and coming to this moment of 27 years, I've seen some things. Some things are bad, some things are good, but during that process, it never altered or changed my view as to why I serve. Mm-hmm. When I came into the department, I came in with a heart to serve because I have a servant's heart. And so from that, and you mentioned in conversations before we went on the air, you mentioned in conversations that sometimes those things kind of weigh on you. Mm. You have to have a way to be able to vent some of the events that you come across. Mm. And from that, once you learn that mechanism, then you're able to sustain and balance yourself. So yes, it's been a 27 years that's been full of surprises at times, but God's been good.
Amen. You have been good to us, I think, and I think you have in referring to some of the good and the bad and how you vent that, is it about, I suppose it's about having a kind of supportive network? Or I mean, how do you vent?
That is, well, that's a personal question, and I'll answer that. But you hit a point, you said having a network.
Yeah.
When you talked about Captain Clary earlier, although I may oversee and supervise the Fire Prevention Division, I have an awesome team. It comprises of Captain Clary and a few others that I don't want to call name by name, but I have an awesome team. And I would not be able to do what I do without them. So the fire department is that network. The fire department is that network. I hit on the component of prevention because that's the area that I'm in right now.
I got you.
But I was in suppression for 23 and a half years before I became staff.
Uh-huh.
So whenever we come across events, we actually have, I guess you would call, roundtable discussions. We do discuss those events amongst ourselves if we are part of that event. We also have, and Captain Clary is on that team. Now, I was previously on that team a while back, but we have what is called critical incident stress debriefing. We have a team of personnel that comprise not only TFD personnel, but psychologists and people of that nature, that if we have incidents that that we deem need to be vetted or vented, then that team is pulled together and they go out and be able to sit down and have conversations.
That's remarkable.
To be in debrief and be able to allow those that saw that, that were involved in that, an opportunity to talk about it. We have policies in place that when we have things like that, that the department's policy is to go and deal with that team. Mm. There are times that we might take that team and after they've been debriefed, get them away from the environment of the fire department and the fire service for a time so that they're able to decompress.
That is remarkable. And it, man, it just opens up so many thoughts about, I don't know, the evolution of firefighting, the maturation of what this profession really involves. You know, you're not just going out there with a hose and a rake and putting out a fire. I mean, that's 100 years ago.
Yeah,
right?
They used to say put the wet stuff on the red stuff. But it is actually a science.
It is a science, and it seems to me that it is a science of the mind as well as the body and the physics involved, understanding the what it is that will fuel a fire and fire potential. And that's, of course, where Captain Clary comes in, because you're over here waving your arms, trying to get my attention, saying, don't think that you're safe simply because the fire hasn't yet erupted in your face. I'll pick out an example. Put some smoke detectors in the attic of your house, because that's where the lightning is going to strike the roof. And that can be smoldering for hours while you're asleep, and you don't know about that. And honestly, that was Chief Gaines that was here a couple months ago and pointed that out.
Yes, and I think me and you talked about that as well.
Probably
the last
did.
Time I was here. I do have one in my attic. I also have one in my garage. People don't think about those things, but you're supposed to store your flammable chemicals outside of your house. So you should have a storage area outside of your house where you store all those things that can cause a fire in your garage.
Mm.
People don't think about the propane tanks and the gas that they leave in the garage until it's too late.
Yeah.
You know, being in fire prevention, we look at different avenues and educational techniques to try and teach the general public what can go wrong. And people ask me, well, what's the biggest fire hazard? And I always tell them because we don't think ahead of time what can happen in a crucial situation when we make a mistake.
Mm.
And not following simple guidelines for fire and life safety can put your family at jeopardy.
Talking with Captain Robert Clary here and Chief Annette Brown, who are going to do their very best to keep the moose from burning himself up or anybody else. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back with Chief Annette Brown and Captain Robert Clary talking about all kinds of things here regarding this business that is the domain of the Tallahassee Fire Department. Suppression, which is putting the fire out.
Correct.
Right? Prevention, which is your first and foremost concern, keeping the fire from ever happening. That sounds pretty complicated because you ticked off a number of things here in the last segment, including where I keep flammable liquids. You know, and I'm sitting here feeling a little self-conscious because I'm thinking, let's see now, did I put the propane in the laundry room or in the garage or in a separate outbuilding? Yeah, good question, huh? Yeah. Not to mention paint thinner and all the rest of that stuff we tend to keep around us. You have specific programs too, Captain, that we need to know about, right? That help us get better educated, that I know that you and your folks spent a good deal of time providing for us. Tell us about that.
Well, yes, we teach fire prevention all year long. Fire Prevention Week is actually coming up October the 7th through mm-hmm. the 13th. Mm-hmm. And we'll be going out into the public and distributing information on fire safety in your home as nice. Well as your workplace. But to learn more about the fire department, hey, we have a ride-along program. So if you're 16 years and up, you can go on our website, Calgov/fire, and we have a form to fill out, and if you're selected, you can come on and you can ride at the stations with us, and you can see what we do on a daily basis.
I got to do that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Awesome. You know mm-hmm. you get a chance to ride around with us. And
if
go
you're
calls.
A radio talk show host, do you get like special treatment? I mean, is there lunch involved? Do I get like a snack along the way?
Well, we do fix lunch. You can have lunch with us. That's a part of the ride along program. Everybody wants to eat.
I want to have shepherd's. I want to have shepherd's pie when we get to this.
Just make that known as soon as you get in.
Pie. I mean, well, and that's Chief Gaines. He doesn't he love shepherd's pie? Or wait a minute, no, it's the other way around.
I think it's the other way around.
Yeah, he's not a big fan. Okay, well, never mind about the shepherd's pie. It's more important that we realize we have all of this at our fingertips. Right. You folks have dedicated your lives to our well-being, and with these programs at hand, kind of remarkable, I suppose, that we don't take advantage of it. I know one of the things you guys do is you'll pull up there at the parking lot over at the Governor's Mall. You guys still do that? And you have like this thing where we can come in, and you got the trucks there, and there's like a fire safety thing, or is that old school?
No, it's not old school. We do a lot of that stuff throughout the year.
Okay.
We try to go into community as much as possible. We partner with other organizations, LCMS, the Sheriff's Department, Tallahassee Police Department, and we mm-hmm. go around to different venues and try to spread the word of fire and life safety throughout the community to help people get better informed mm-hmm. information about what to do in case of a crisis.
Mm-hmm. There's this other thing. It's called, Fire Pups? Is that right? It's like a literature distribution program where you can, I've got some information here. Yeah, the Fire Pup program. So I can actually purchase materials that can be distributed to elementary school kids and older. Tell us about that. Fire Pup.
Well, Fire Pups is National Fire Safety Council organization. It was been around since 1979.
Uh-huh.
And it was formed to help fire departments across the nation gather fire safety material to distribute throughout the community.
Okay. So, Annette, tell us more. What do you have in mind?
The National Safety Fire Safety Council oversees the Fire Put program, and we have partnered with them because they partner with multiple fire departments all across the nation.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And from that partnership, the National Fire Safety Council actually ends up distributing back to local fire departments across the nation paraphernalia, information that we can get into the community.
Okay.
When we go to different and various events, we have items that we give away. Sometimes we have cups and the little well-known red fire helmets would see the children wear, and sometimes adults, because we do have adults.
Oh, I've got two of them.
Want the fire helmets.
Yeah, for sure. Well, they don't fit anymore, but yeah.
Well, a lot of those things that we distribute to the community, from the coloring books to the pencils to the pens to the whatever we give out, there's always a cost factor to
that.
And so what the National Fire Safety Council has done is they are a nonprofit organization, which means all of your donations are tax deductible.
Yeah.
But they run this program, and from this program, they distribute back to fire departments across the nation.
Okay.
Those type of materials that that assist us in minimizing our budget on materials and being able to get more information to the community through those resources.
That's remarkable. I'm reading here from this notification that we got from Chief Gaines, talking about $3 per child. So this is a neat thing. And it really, I'll say this on behalf of those of us who are business owners, and I'm seeing a listing here of some local businesses that have already signed up for this. Basically, what you're doing is helping the fire department distribute information through means that kids like helmets and coloring books and other things. Decide at what level you want to contribute, and do so as a charitable donation to the National Fire Safety Council, which is cool. And so it all goes around, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
And it helps you help our kids. The business gets recognized for their contribution. It's a good thing. And you can find that information, I think, on the TFD website. Is that right?
That information is not listed on the TFD website.
Oh, it's not. Okay.
It is the partnership with the National Fire Safety Council, which means the council themselves actually do the distribution.
So they do that. Okay.
Of the information. And they maintain, manage it, inventories, and things like that.
Okay. Let's see here. I'm looking to see if there's a manner in which we can contact. Maybe we could just give a call to the department, or maybe we can go online and look at the
There should be a number on there that has the National Fire Safety
I see it here.
Council.
Okay. So here we go. It's 877-435-7777. So I'm going to give that to you again. 877-435-7777. That's the National Fire Safety Council. If you want to help TFD do their job even more effectively by helping to educate our youngsters.
May I iterate that it's not just TFD? It actually helps fire departments
all over the country. Oh, nice. In fact, that contribution, like so many of the ways in which this community supports the work you do, seems to be a very personal thing. And the other day we had this semi truck that collided with a smaller vehicle, and TFD was out there immediately sanding down the area. There was a fuel leak from the truck. Everybody was tweeting about that and Facebooking about that. And you know, the newspaper had already got it up on their website. It's very personal when it comes to not just public safety, but the fact that our firefighters are out there taking this in hand, and people may not realize they're putting themselves at risk. I mean, we're talking about fuel, probably diesel fuel for a truck that size,
But that's not to be taken lightly. And I mean, of course, police department was there on site. You know, you had law enforcement managing the traffic. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking into the faces. I mean, I happen to drive right past the whole scene on my way. I drive by and I kind of just, well, you know, they're just doing their job and it's no big deal. Yeah, well, that's because they know how to do the job.
Absolutely. There's a lot of training that goes involved into the job that we do. And we have specialty teams such as hazmat teams and USAR teams that train all the time for any situation that we might not think of at the time. But then when it happens, you have to have somebody ready to go. And that's Tallahassee Fire Department's job, to be ready to go on any incident that is caused in the community.
Well, folks, this is why we love having folks like Robert and Annette with us. We're going to continue this conversation. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks. We'll be right back.
Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town, kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins, coffee cakes, bread and pastries, and my personal favorite, fresh-made bagels and Lucky Goat coffee. Yeah, it helps get me out in the morning. And they deliver to the many restaurants, clubs, and coffee shops that serve their bread, muffins, and quiche. Never stuffy, never stale, just Tasty Pastry good. It's the perfect blend of world-class talent, pure, simple ingredients, and down-home Tallahassee family tradition. Maybe they should call it Tasty Tally Bakery, but then why mess with something that's been working for 55 years? You know, you want something fresh and fantastic? There's a Tasty Pastry just waiting for you in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You want to know more? They're online at tastypastrybakery.com or call them at 893-3752.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you've just joined us, in keeping with our ongoing Tallahassee Prepared promotion, which we launched back in the spring of the year, in the capacity, we touched on this a little bit earlier. No doubt the challenges emotionally have to be substantial, right? Over time, do you find yourself becoming sort of dull to all of that? Do you find yourself becoming sort of insensitive then to others' situations, or is it just the opposite? Are you more aware?
Well, like Chief touched on previously, you can run into situations, but as a professional, you deal with those situations as they come about. And sometimes, you know, it may be a really, really bad scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And the department recognizes that, and we'll get the CSID team together.
Yeah.
And we'll go and sit down with those individuals who may have seen a little too much that day.
And
we will talk with them and evaluate them and make sure that they're going to be fit for duty. And if they need special help, we get it to them.
Post-traumatic stress is a real thing.
Yes, and there has been recent legislation that has identified that in the fire service. For us. But you asked me a question earlier that I did not answer personally. Yeah. I answered broadly.
Yeah.
The question that you asked me is, how did I deal with
how do you do it?
Yeah. Things like that. Without really giving the scenario.
Yeah.
Many years ago, when I came into the fire service, I had been in the fire service roughly about 7 years.
Uh-huh.
I did respond to a call that the person decided that they no longer wanted to be here. And and from that experience, when I walked into the scene, my compassion and the heart that I have for serving really went to another level on that day. Because the family didn't understand. They didn't, you know, quite understand why. The why was there.
Right.
The way that I have been able to handle the things that I've seen, the things that I've experienced, and not internalize them, but be able to get them out, is that I am a prayer warrior. That's my venting. That's my avenue of being able to balance what I've seen and not internalize.
And it affected you personally, so that coming away from that, were you different?
Yes, I was. Yeah. I was different to the point that I was determined to be more effective.
Interesting.
Not only in the fire service, but as a person. And just in society all around. So, yes, that was my mechanism over these years.
Look at that.
Be able to.
Robert, you catch that. She, instead of turning away, instead of pulling back, she resolved to be even more resolute, more determined to up her game, we'd say, to be even more proficient. Is that something you see across the way your colleagues are like-minded? They hit a challenge like that, and they're like, okay, I'm going to push forward on this.
In the fire service is always a term, adapt and overcome, is what we use most often. And when we are faced with a challenge, we have to mitigate that challenge. We have to solve the problem for everyone, including ourselves. And we use that in our lives as well. You know, sometimes you may hit a stumbling block, but that doesn't mean you have to fall down and stay down. You find a way to get back up. You find a way to continue. And as professional firefighters, that's your job.
There's a certain college football team that probably needs to hear that this week. Maybe there are a few that need to hear that this week. You get knocked down, you get back up, and you do so as a team. That's what I'm hearing.
As a team.
Yeah. And you go to those personal resources you may have, in your case, prayer and your relationship with God. But you also reach out to those folks around you who are like-minded and are themselves professionally skilled enough to say, Yeah, we got you.
Yes.
We know how this works.
And they will tell you that verbally. Yeah. They can recognize and say, we got you.
Yeah. Very cool stuff. See, this is why, don't you feel this way? I would love to be a firefighter, because then I'd have people who actually care about me. No, that's not true. There, I have a lot of people who care about me. That's nonsense. Why am I saying that? But it just sounds so inviting at this point, right?
And if you really want to see what it's like to be a firefighter, we also have a Citizens Fire Academy held twice a year. If you go on our website, talgov/fire.com, we have a form to fill out.
Ooh.
And we have a 2-week program where you get to do all kinds of fun stuff that we normally do on a regular basis.
That is totally cool.
Rappelling from buildings, putting out car fires, extrication. You learn a lot about hazmat, like we touched on before. It's a
remarkable.
Lot of information, and it's a very fun time. I encourage anybody to step up and take the challenge to become a Citizens Fire Academy member.
Captain, I want to tell you something. You're doing your job here because you have educated me in spite of my limitations, and have, I think, educated all of us this morning with a lot more than just maybe written out on a piece of paper, because what I've learned from you is you got a heart as big as a house, and your determination is to make sure that that I'm in good shape, that I can go home tonight and know that I'm safe, and apply some of the things that you've brought to my attention. I'm going to move those propane tanks too, by the way. I promise you I'll do that.
Thank you.
Okay. Because you're busy enough. You don't need me showing up on your radar. Okay. What else? Are we good?
We're good.
Just wanted to touch on a quick couple of fire prevention tips.
Oh, good idea.
As we're coming into the winter months,
right.
I want to express to everyone, if you have a fireplace, something that most people don't think about is that you should have the fireplace chimney inspected every year before you start lighting up the fire.
Yeah.
If you have a gas fireplace, you want to get your gas lines inspected. Those logs that you've had on there, they don't last forever. They have an expiration date. Get the logs, the burners checked before you start using that fireplace. Also, if you're going to use any kind of heating equipment, make sure you stay in the room while the heating equipment is on, such as space heaters, kerosene heaters, whatnot. Make sure they're 3 feet away from anything that's combustible.
Like drapery or bed sheets and
absolutely,
stuff? Yeah.
Anything like that.
Yeah.
Just make sure that your home is as safe this winter as possible. We have a lot of fires coming up in these months.
Because of
different things that people don't think about, you know, leaving the room and with a heater on, or going to sleep with the heater on.
Great advice. That's awesome. And yes, chimneys are a big deal in this part of the world. A lot of us have wood-burning stoves. Mm-hmm. And if you're burning pine in there, which they tell you not to do, well, if you're doing it, make sure you've brushed that stack real well and get all that creosote out of there. See? Mm-hmm. You taught me that. I've learned that. Captain Robert Clary, who is the public educator for Tallahassee Fire Department, and our new friend, Annette Brown, Chief Brown, who oversees this, along with several other good folks there at the department. I want to give a shout out to Chief Jerome Gaines and also to Chief Rich Jones, because they're on the job, along with all of those men and women who are the Tallahassee Fire Department. God bless you, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. Folks, you stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. At Gaines Street Pies, their sauce is no secret. In fact, just about everybody knows their imported San Marzano pizza sauce has made them famous. Two Tallahassee guys wanting to make the best pizza in town. They mashed flavors together that had never been seen on a pizza before, and they just kept working until they had the very best. Using all fresh ingredients, real sliced bacon, fresh made ranch, and homemade meatballs. Recipe by recipe. So, less than a year later, they opened Midtown Pies on 5th Avenue in Midtown. Now they're opening their third location on Capitol Circle Northeast at Easterwood. Two guys who got famous by making great pizza with San Marzano sauce and the best ingredients. And made it great for all of us who really want the best pizza in town. Check it out. Gaines Street Pies, now with three locations. Who knows? Maybe you'll get famous. Online at GainesStreetPies.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're in the second hour, and we've got Dave Barfield standing by. He's going to talk with us about Tallahassee Family Magazine, his own career as an award-winning, and that's no exaggeration, Emmys and Addies. I don't know where he puts them all, but he's got them, and deservedly so. Operating under the auspices of his own business, Lonely Fox Photography. Is it Lonely Fox Photography or Lonely Fox Studios? Doesn't matter, does it? Well, it's Lonely Fox. He'll have to tell us how that all came about, the story of the Lonely Fox. What you find out with Dave Barfield is a degree of transparency that shows up in all his work. And this is a guy who's just, there are really no layers to be peeled back. If you're looking for that, you can look in my direction. You know, I'm a layered sort of guy. People have been peeling that onion for a while trying to figure me out. Good luck with that. With Dave, pretty much what you see is what you get, and that's characteristic of his life and his work. And his life's work has been the portrayal of those things he finds curious and interesting. We're going to find out more about his career and about his vision for this remarkable little magazine, TFM, Tallahassee Family Magazine. It's online at tfmmagazine.com, fully blown version of this magazine that has sort of turned things in a new direction from my perspective. That is to say, what we're used to seeing in print oftentimes has a lot of gloss and a lot of photoshopping and a lot of cropping, and, you know, nothing wrong with that in an intrusive, I guess, intrinsically is what I mean to say. But it's at the same time, for us, I think more importantly, the business of being rather unvarnished and firsthand, giving us the chance to see more about what makes Tallahassee a very special place. And honestly, if it's not the people, it's nothing. And it's certainly not oak trees and rivers, although those are wonderful aspects to our community. And it certainly helped to characterize who we are, but it's the people that define us, and it's the contributions that we make individually, most often quite humbly,
not highly celebrated. We find that happening all the time. And some of those folks show up here on my show. You've heard them talk to you about why they do what they do. And Dave's one of those people. You're going to find out that not a whole lot of fuss and feathers going on. He's just amazing people with his remarkable skills, but I think more so his approach to life. I think you'll find it refreshing. Speaking of which, I have to tell you, as I look around town, I think of us sitting here at the end of the week. It's been a short week because of the holiday. Monday night for Florida State fans, Seminoles, we're still in a kind of postmortem, recovery, shell shock, whatever. A whole lot of second guessing going on. And, you got people, lining up on both sides of that. Some people suggesting that maybe, the decision to hire Coach Taggart was unwise. And then others recoiling at that thought and then reminding us that we all need to just take a chill pill and relax and it's the first game of the season and yada, yada. So you kind of get all of that. And I think everybody else in the middle is just like, I just thought we would have an entertaining football game, and Lord knows we needed it in face of the other things going on, particularly in national politics and confirmation hearings going on for Kavanaugh. And man, what a piece of entertainment that has been. That'll wear you out. And then there's, of course, the local election. We just came through the primary, and there's just more drama that you can than you can squeeze into a Netflix film. And we're in for more. It ain't over by any stretch. But you kind of thought, like, okay, there's Florida State football. Yay! Not so much. Okay, enough of that. I do have a couple of announcements for you. So I got this announcement from the county, Leon County Emergency Medical Services, quite timely, given our topic from the first hour with Captain Clary and all and Chief Brown. LCEMS has been named the Dick Furno Career EMS Service of the Year Award winner. So kudos to our friends with EMS over there at Leon County, named the Career EMS Service of the Year by the National Association of Emergency Medical Technicians and EMS World. So award recipients are evaluated on a number of criteria, which include contributions towards advancing EMS education and training in the agency, innovations in pre-hospital care and protocol development implemented by the agency, medical community involvement with the agency, public education, and all kinds of other stuff. Anyway, kudos and congratulations to our own Leon County EMS folks over there for snagging this annual award, being recognized as the EMS Service of the Year. And that's a national award. And I might say a major award. Okay, so we're going to move on here. We've got another notice from Matt over there at the county in which he wanted us to know the county was featured in this month's edition of Business View magazine, a professional trade publication for private and public CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business leaders. About 840,000 subscribers. Magazine covers latest developments in manufacturing, construction, infrastructure, such things. The editorial staff invited Vince Long, who's the county administrator, to participate in an interview recently as part of the magazine's focus on best practices of local governments. So the story entitled, Leon County Realizing Return on Vision, highlights the role that public infrastructure and private investment has played in our community's economic vitality coming out of the Great Recession. Okay, so that's, again, more attention being drawn to the proficiencies of and contributions of our community here nationally. So there you go, folks. Stay with me in this hour. I've got Dave Barfield with me. We'll talk a lot about this neat little publication that's come our way. The latest edition is out now. If you haven't gotten your copy, you can stop in at Whole Foods or Earth Fair, Urban Food Market, lots of places around town. Go online. You can see a listing there on the official map of those places where you can pick up a copy for yourself, or you can subscribe and have us mail it directly to you. The web address is tfmmagazine.com. So that's that. I have to tell you, the more I get around out, I don't get out much. You know, I'm kind of old and, I don't know, strange. I'm kind of hermit-like. You know, I'm kind of hanging out in my house all the time. It's really unfortunate because I miss seeing a lot of you out there. And okay, so I need to do more of that. But when I do, I find people making a lot of very positive comments about the things we've done with this magazine. So maybe you'll enjoy it too. I hope so. And let us know. You can email us here at topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. You'll find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com. And that way you can subscribe to the podcast. You can listen to shows from the website there in our archive section. It's all for you because we love you so much. I'm glad you're a part of today's show. So stay with me. We got more after this.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months. And that's why now is the time to shower up with a beautiful custom bath or shower enclosure from Wooden Glass. Don't wait for the holiday rush. Wooden Glass will take care of you this summer to your complete satisfaction. They've been helping to design and install bath and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Wooden Glass, you're dealing with real glass people, experienced, reliable professionals. Wooden's top-of-the-line bath and shower enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up with style.
Call today, Wooden Glass, the real glass people, 222-5781, or online at woodenglass.com, W-H-I-D-D-O-N. Wooden, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945, 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Many of you know the arrival of this remarkable little magazine we call Tallahassee Family Magazine made its debut now a couple years back. It has gone through some remarkable, metamorphosis in many ways. Evolution, certainly. And I thought it would be cool to bring to you our creative director for the magazine, Dave Barfield. How are you, sir?
I'm good, meow. Thanks for having me.
We're going to do that, are we? Okay.
We need to do that again.
We'll keep that. That's all good. This is exactly why you're here. We're going to test both Carl's and mine limits. Aren't you having a good time, Carl? Carl's loving this. This is good stuff.
I've been planning on playing the meow game since 10 o'clock last night to see if I can make Carl punch me.
We've arrived at that. I think you're good. Thing that I noticed about the magazine from its beginnings, thanks to your overview and your direct involvement and your creativity and all that goes into that, there's a kind of... I don't want to say too much here, but I there's a kind of sensitivity to the moment that is carried in those photos. Now, everybody I've ever talked to about your work, well beyond the magazine, will say, "Yeah, that's definitely Dave Barfield's thing." And I know you've talked about it, even when you're doing, I guess you'd call it portraiture of some kind. There's a sort of style that you favor in which the person you're photographing isn't being staged. You know, they're really just carrying on in a manner that is them. And then you capture those moments as that proceeds. Right. And who is it that you look to for that? You've given me this name before and I've forgotten.
Yeah, I get that style from two people, Sally Mann and Edward Weston are two of my influences as far as photography goes. And I think that the most interesting aspect of portraiture is capturing somebody as themselves rather than what they try and present.
I find that interesting in the context of the magazine, because the photos that accompany the articles oftentimes are sufficient. I mean, you wouldn't even have to, I don't want to say this because it sounds critical of the writers, but in many respects, the photo is its own story then, and the written text, the article itself, is coming alongside of that. And gosh, if we're lucky, they're saying the same thing.
Right.
But I've noticed that there are ways in which you will avoid trying to do, I think, what you call a cut line, or if there's text that's supposed to be in the photo.
Right.
With the question being, well, if the photo is the photo and doing what it's right. supposed to do, yeah. why do we need...
One of my earliest lessons in photography by one of my favorite teachers, Barbara Edwards, was if you have to explain the photo, then you failed as a photographer. And if you look at Sally Mann or Annie Leibovitz or Edward Weston, there's a huge of just volumes of stories about the people in the photographs without using any words. And that's what I enjoyed attempting to do.
In that respect, for those of you who may not have seen this, there is an article we published back in the spring of 2017, last year, entitled From Silver to Silver, An Artist's Transformation. And in fact, that article refers to this woman who, Dave, you just mentioned, who was one of your mentors, right?
Definitely. My greatest mentor.
And in this article, I want to pull this quote out because it's pertinent to what you're saying. She says this: everything you experience in life feeds on itself in art. You take in all these things and somehow they become stirred up in your psyche and get spewed out when you create. A lot of times you don't know where it comes from. So in that respect, she's referring to art in general and her own artistic endeavors and creative process. It seems to me you carry that with you as well, in the way that I've seen you working with people in a photo shoot, whether it's an individual or a group of people. And something will catch your attention, and it's always curious to me, what is it inside of you that you found that aspect of that moment to be the most curious, and you got it?
Well, I typically couldn't.
And you can't tell me.
Tell you what that was. I know that a photographer's most important job is not using the camera or the lights. His most important job is to pay attention. So you just pay attention to what's happening, and you'll usually find something unique and interesting in any situation.
The uniqueness and the interesting that you bring to me may, if I can hazard this, may come out of the fact that you as an individual have a tremendously diverse personal history. I mean, you've traveled the country and even other countries, and not always as a photographer. You know, you've lived out there in the Southwest on a mesa somewhere, you know, in the desert. You went to Colorado for a time. It seems to me that you have embraced a lot of life, and that life, if Barbara's statement holds, is boiling inside of you, which might account for a lot of your own personal problems, which we won't go into at the moment. We'll talk about those in later segments. Yeah. Folks, I've got Dave Barfield here. He's the creative director for Tallahassee Family Magazine, now available in its latest edition, is out there. If you haven't, you need to go get a copy. I'll tell you more about that as we come back. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back. We're talking with Dave Barfield, talking about this remarkable world that is his, where he goes out with cameras and lights and other things that I don't understand, that he all kind of puts together in various ways at various times, and then comes back with these stunningly remarkable photos. I mean, photos that to me are, at the same time that they are sort of captivating, you want to just keep looking at the photo, and then you're trying to figure out, what is it about that? And I'll point to one right now, and that's the cover of the current edition where you've got George Clinton. This was the featured story for this particular edition. Man, there, you could spend an hour just talking about the fact that this is a guy who has lived in our community for a number of years and has been sort of out of sight. You know, he, and I think by his own choice, he'd prefer to not be bothered with a lot of inquiries. But in any case, Dave, you had the opportunity to go in and photograph him, and then Carl produced this remarkable story about him and his unusual and singularly impactful career in music. And, you know, the longest running, isn't this right? The longest running rock band or whatever in American history, still performing, P-Funk. Tell us about that day and the experience of going into his studio, and just kind of what was that like?
Well, it was pretty amazing. I've been a fan of George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic for a long time, so, and I didn't know they were based here until our editor Carl gave me this assignment. And told me, no, his studio is right down the road.
Like the rest of us.
Surprising me. Yeah. I'm like, okay. So we went, and I knew I had looked, did a bunch of research on images of George Clinton before we went. And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, is that he's been photographed a lot, obviously. But he's always shown as larger than life, this huge presence. So I wanted... Going into the studio, I knew what I wanted to do was get intimate portraits of George Clinton, because that was not something I had seen anyone do with him before. And going to a studio was great because it was very, you know, it's a fairly small place. He was very comfortable in his own element. He was super friendly and very happy for us to be there, which, you know, with somebody with his level of fame was refreshing and certainly... nice to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Extremely welcoming. All of he and the rest of his people at the studio were all very welcoming, and it was a great experience.
So a humble guy.
Very humble guy, yeah.
Which, as you say, sort of is a counterpoint to what we normally expect from people who have achieved that much and such, and you kind of like, okay, what's this going to be like? Danny Bedrosian is the really, we can credit Danny for having kind of pointed us in that direction. Carl and Danny started talking. Danny, having played with Dan, with George for 16 years now, just got back this week off tour. He's going back out again. And so Danny's comment was that, in fact, if we could make this work, it would be one of those moments when George happened to be in town.
Right.
And you could kind of catch him on that day when... And I know there were a couple of attempts to do that, and it just didn't work out. Yeah. Then finally, this all came together. When you left the studio that day, I mean, how long did the whole shoot take?
I'd say they were probably there for 2 or 3 hours, maybe 4.
And Carl is motioning 4 hours.
We're about there for 4 hours. And I know we actually, I could have gone for hours more, but George actually had to leave to go to his granddaughter's recital.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, which was...
Like one of his guys came in and said, you know, George, he had completely lost track of time. That's a compliment. Then.
Yeah, and a very humanizing thing, too. It was interesting that he was very concerned about making it to his granddaughter's recital, which was nice.
Yeah, yeah. A further confirmation that this is a real guy we're dealing with.
Right.
Yeah, and a nice guy, yeah.
Yeah, he was a very nice guy.
Well, in that respect... Did that change for you? Because you said you've been a fan of his for years. Was that surprising to you?
No, it wasn't surprising. It was just you never know. It's you. You go to these photo shoots, especially when you're getting these kind of more intimate portraits. People can feel threatened. It can be a challenge to get people comfortable in that environment. So it was. I never thought he would be anything other than a nice guy, but there's always that little bit of trepidation that you're invading a space that you're not necessarily going to be welcome in.
And is there a rule of thumb for you, or is there a methodology? Is there some way that you try to get people to relax?
I typically research anyone or any place before I go shoot it, so I have questions to ask them. And if you are interested in someone, they will generally open up to you. I found that if you're genuinely interested in what they do and ask them good questions.
What a thought.
Yeah, they will generally be open and comfortable as long as they know you care about what you're
being
doing.
Being sincere. Yeah. Yeah. That's another word I would apply with your work and with this magazine. There's a sincerity about the magazine, and for that, what I mean is, and there's lots of synonyms there, but I think sincerity says this is exactly what happened in that moment.
In my photography, and I think it's a pretty overall vision for the magazine, is that's the overriding factor, is it has to be sincere. If we're faking it, then what's the point?
Yeah.
So, like with George Clinton, with the other articles we have in here, if it's not sincere, then there's no point in doing it.
For me, that is one of the most, if not the most, refreshing aspects of this work, because so much of everything else in our contemporary culture is just the opposite. Even now, you can pick up your smartphone, take a selfie, which in and of itself is sort of weird, probably... narcissistic to begin with, but if that were not enough, now your phone can say, oh, let's enhance that photo.
Right.
And if none of the editorial things we've provided you work, just stick some bunny ears on your face, or on your head. So you come along and go, yeah, see, no, we're going to come back to where life really is.
Well, I just want it to be sincere and real, and you start adding filters and whatever, your Instagram stuff.
And Photoshop.
Yeah. You know, years ago, it's funny to me when I look at the Instagram filters, because I obviously when I started this business, I was film and darkroom, so that's where I came from. Yeah. And all of those Instagram filters are all mistakes that would have happened in the darkroom. They're all things that it would have made me fail Barbara's class or any of the photo. If I my photos look like so, it's just always funny to me to see those filters.
So they're encouraging us to do things that are actually forbidden in the world of real photography, okay, or photo processing. Maybe I don't know if that's the right word, but in any case.
Anyway, I just find it amusing, and the overriding sense is insincerity. None of that stuff means anything. It's just, this looks neat, but it doesn't tell me any kind of story.
You know, I have to say, too, in working with you in this context, that Barbara has pointed to in that artists can really bring nothing more than what's inside of them. You, in fact, are a very sincere individual. You are a person who is very genuine about...
I don't know about that.
No, I mean, the fact is, good or bad, you know, you don't go about trying to Photoshop yourself metaphorically in everyday life. You know, you're just out there, and I mean, this is me, and take it or leave it. And I think that... Again, sort of flies in the face of what we're being encouraged to do, to somehow groom ourselves at every moment and make sure that we're only giving everybody the best side of us, whatever that is supposed to be. God help us to figure out and begin with what that is. We don't know, right? The best version of me. I have no idea. This is the only version I have. So, folks, I got Dave Barfield with me. Stay right where you are because we're going to come back here in just a minute.
Is there anything more Tallahassee than Tasty Pastry Bakery? More fresh, more original, more this is why I love this town, kind of delicious? I don't think so. You know, they've been in business since 1963, working through the night to be ready the next morning with muffins, coffee cakes, bread and pastries, and my personal favorite, fresh-made bagels and Lucky Goat coffee. Yeah, it helps get me out in the morning. And they deliver to the many restaurants, clubs, and coffee shops that serve their bread, muffins, and quiche. Never stuffy, never stale, just tasty pastry good. It's the perfect blend of world-class talent, pure, simple ingredients, and down-home Tallahassee family tradition. Maybe they should call it Tasty Tally Bakery, but then why mess with something that's been working for 55 years? You know, you want something fresh and fantastic? There's a Tasty Pastry just waiting for you in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. You want to know more? They're online at tastypastrybakery.com or call them at 893-3752.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We've got Dave Barfield talking Tallahassee Family Magazine, talking photography, talking about sincerity in this publication. And I have to say, Dave, I think your quote was, if you're interested in the subject, you can find beauty there. How did you put it?
If you pay attention, you can find beauty everywhere. One of the more powerful stories that Carl and I worked on was Camp Amigo, which was in a couple issues ago. But it's a camp for child burn victims. And some of the comments I've heard from the portraiture in there is how beautiful the people looked. Yeah. And these are kids that have been through a lot. And it just... Yeah. Sometimes it confuses me when people ask me that question, because to me, if you just pay attention to anything, you'll find something beautiful.
Something beautiful.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting to me is finding moments. While sometimes in my day-to-day, I have to stage those moments because that's the job of a commercial photographer, but especially for the series and the magazine, typically I just want to find things. It's kind of like a little treasure hunt.
And that's a cool point, because people need to know that you are an established photographer, have been for many years. Your studio, Lonely Fox Photography, is that the proper name?
Yeah.
Lonely Fox Studios, Lonely Fox. There's a story behind that, the name of the studio. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so years ago I lived in Panacea, Florida, right on the Occoquan Bay there, and I had a two-story house, so I had we lived upstairs and I had a studio downstairs. in my studio downstairs had a sliding glass door with a deck out there. And one day, a little red fox just started hanging out on the deck. Well, that's cool. And, you know, we weren't on friendly terms, but he certainly wasn't afraid of me. So he would just hang out there, and I'd see him pretty much every day. And then one day the fox showed up with another fox and two little kits. So that's really cool.
We have a fox family.
Living underneath the deck there. So they were there for about 3 months. And then one day it was back to just the male fox. And the female fox and the babies were gone. But that little red fox would come up on my deck every day. And it always felt to me like he was looking for his little family to come back. So that's where the Lonely Fox Studios came from.
Okay, we're just going to have to stop right there, Dave. Were you not doing work for the magazine or work for your clients? What would be your preference? If you could take a picture of anything, where would you spend your time, I guess?
Believe it or not, portraiture is probably my favorite thing to do.
Really?
I love, which is interesting for somebody that is afraid of people.
It's mutual. It's okay.
But I like being out in the woods, so landscape is a lot of fun too. But I think if you were going to ask me what I would be doing, it would just be finding people and photographing. Yeah, an overarching theme in my entire life as a photographer has been a dream state. So I like showing that. I like photographs that could be from a dream.
So the fantastic, the fanciful, the dream state ideas.
Yeah.
They're sort of, is that a part of everything you do?
That's a part of everything I do. For my personal work, obviously, and for the magazine, you can't really pull that off in commercial work. But I want everything to feel, if you look at one of my photos, I want you to feel very connected to it.
Because as you're talking, I'm thinking of you asking, you know, those doctors and lawyers that you have to take pictures of. I want you to ask them to start jumping up and down while you're taking their pictures. And they're going to do this because you're the photographer, right? So they just have to do what you tell them to do.
Well, it's interesting because a few years ago, a friend of mine pointed out, and I had never even noticed this before, but my entire photography career in my personal work has been trying to find the one photo of the woman in the white dress in the woods. And I had never even noticed that until I started looking back at my work and went, oh my God, you're right.
Wow. You know, another one that I really liked, and that was the cover of that would have been summer of last year. The Pas de Vie edition of the magazine.
Right.
A photo of that woman, it looks like a Flemish painting to me. It has this gorgeous sort of texture and, you know, all of the properties that went into making that photo what it is. How much time did you spend on that shoot? I mean,
we were there for about probably 3 or 4 hours. That type of shoot is technical lighting wise, because you have to do a lot of stuff to make sure she's not blurry while she's moving, and there's just a lot of technical stuff to do. But it was the same sort of a dream state. I separated her from the background, so you can't really tell where she is or even why she's doing what she's doing. She's just floating in a bunch of negative space, which to me feels like that sort of dream state you would see.
Folks, if you haven't yet done so, you can witness this for yourself. There are plenty of places around town where you can pick up a copy. It's our compliments to you. Tallahassee Family Magazine is at Whole Foods, Earth Fair, Urban Food Market, lots of smaller retail outlets around town. Another good thing to do is to go online, go to tfmmagazine.com, fully blown online edition of the magazine. It's entirely interactive. You can read through any of the articles, and everything that we have published thus far is right there on the site. So that's a very cool thing. And some of these photos that we've talked about, those are all available to you. So In any case, it is our pleasure to have with us the mastermind behind this remarkable work that has come on the scene over the last couple of years. And Dave, I have to tell you, we get phone calls all the time. People will stop me. I saw Gary Yorton at the grocery store the other night, and he was just stunned. And the comments are magnanimous about the quality of the work, everything from the paper right down to the way it's laid out and everything. It's just, well, it's a great work.
I have very little to do with the magazine. Any quality of the magazine is due to the efforts, especially of our managing editor, Carl Sorn, and our executive editor, Sarah Sorn. Mm-hmm. All the content comes from them, so they're the ones that should be getting mm-hmm. any compliments.
Okay, he's lying, but we'll allow him to to go on with that weird... That's part of his dream state. He just doesn't really get it. He is the man, folks. Dave Barfield, our guest this morning. Thank you for enduring this. You know, you notice that I do try to spread this out so it's not too often that we drag you in here to inflict pain upon you in this cruel and unhuman,
I'm just not a very
inhuman
guy,
manner. So yeah, well, we'll be the judge of that. Folks, that's why I'm here. I do this for you every week, and we're glad you're a part of it. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. Coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat. You can find Moose Magnificat online, moosemagnificat.com, playing all local musicians playing their original songs. Moose Magnificat is there for you. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I will be with you again next week, so come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
At Gain Street Pies, their sauce is no secret. In fact, just about everybody knows their imported San Marzano pizza sauce has made them famous. Two Tallahassee guys wanting to make the best pizza in town. They mashed flavors together that had never been seen on a pizza before, and they just kept working until they had the very best. Using all fresh ingredients, real sliced bacon, fresh-made ranch, and homemade meatballs, recipe by recipe. So less than a year later, they opened Midtown Pies on 5th Avenue in Midtown. Now they're opening their third location on Capitol Circle Northeast at Easterwood. Two guys who got famous by making great pizza with San Marzano sauce and the best ingredients, and made it great for all of us who really want the best pizza in town. Check it out, Gain Street Pies, now with three locations. Who knows? Maybe you'll get famous. Online at GainStreetPies.com.